Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Dear Christians, you have a high and glorious calling, higher and more glorious than any other calling that can be found on earth. For you who confessed yourself to be poor, miserable sinners, have been called by God, the Almighty Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, to be His true and dear children, to be saints, righteous in His eyes, to be heirs of His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. In the previous chapter to our epistle lesson this morning, Paul writes that this high and glorious calling is given to all who believe, regardless of their nationality or blood. Jew and Gentile alike are called to be fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. You have been baptized. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the calling which has been given to you. You've been called into one body, the body of Christ. Therefore, you are a true children of God, brothers and sisters and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, who became your brother according to the flesh. You have been called by one Spirit, the Spirit of the living and eternal God. He who is the Lord and giver of life, who is himself almighty, everlasting, merciful, and good, has called you by the gospel. You have been called to one hope, the hope of heaven, of perfect bliss in the presence of your God, free from sin and death, and even more, the resurrection of your body in incorruption on the last day, and eternal salvation in body and soul forevermore. You have been called by the one Lord who saved you, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who has redeemed you with his holy and precious blood. He is your Lord. He is the one to whom you belong. You have been called in one faith. In Jesus you believe. Jesus you confess to be the Christ, the Lord, the Son of the Most High God. You have been called in one baptism. You have received the new birth of water and of the Spirit, by which you have been united with your one Lord in his death and resurrection. You have been called by one God and Father, who is the God and Father of all who believe, without exception. He rules over you. He exercises his gracious fatherly authority over you as his dear child. He is your guardian. He is your guide. He works in you and through you, that you might be instruments of his mercy. The good works that you do by the power of God who works in you. He dwells in you. You are his temple. In him you live and move and have your being. Indeed, you have the highest and most glorious calling if you are a Christian. And today, the Apostle Paul encourages us to walk in a manner worthy of that high and glorious calling to which we have been called. That is to say, we are to conduct ourselves at all times in a manner worthy of this Christian calling. We are to prove ourselves to be the true children of God and citizens of his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, in our words and deeds. Of course, how can we, poor sinners, ever equal the worth of God's calling? You can't. Nevertheless, you have been called to the fellowship of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And therefore, the way that you live, the way that you speak, should not bring shame to the name of your Heavenly Father, to the name of Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, to the Triune God. Instead, you should walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what is this worthy manner in which we are to walk? In a word, we Christians are to walk in humility. We are to be humble toward one another. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever would be great among you must first become your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. To walk in humility before others, and in particular before your fellow Christians, is to live and act, not in selfish ambition, nor in conceit, but rather counting others as more significant than yourself, seeking the interests of those around you, and not your own interests, loving one another with brotherly affection, outdoing one another and showing honor. It is to be gentle, to be meek, to yield to others in patience, despite having the strength and the opportunity to retaliate. To be gentle and to be meek is to have a desire, even a joy, to serve and to share without demanding or taking. We're called to be patient with one another, and that is especially true in the Christian congregation, here in our congregation. That happens by bearing the faults and failures of your Christian brothers and sisters. It happens when you let love cover the multitude of sins that those around you share. You are called to bear with your fellow believers in love. And again, that especially means bearing their imperfections, their faults, even their peculiarities, without frustration, anger, or bitterness. And in addition to walking humbly before others, we're also to walk humbly before our God, that is, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, while striving to walk in those qualities already listed. We should be all the more eager to maintain that glorious possession of oneness in the Holy Spirit, unity of feeling, of interest, and purpose. It comes from having unity of faith. This unity truly is of the Spirit, for it is worked by Him through the Word of God, and therefore it is unity in the truth of God's Word, unity in pure doctrine, unity that comes from believing all that God has spoken, even if it does not align with our own reason and senses. Indeed, it is enough for the true unity of the church that we agree about the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. And should we deny this, the pure doctrine, the perfect word of God, the gifts of God and the means of grace, then we lose the true unity of the church. Again, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called is to walk in humility. Humility toward others, humility toward God. To do so is to be part of the communion of saints, which we just confessed in the Apostles' Creed. Submitting to one another in mercy and in love, submitting to God in faith and obedience to His word. And of course, this is how the Lord who called you walked. He Himself walked in humility. Though He was in the form of God, He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, made Himself nothing, by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He walked in meekness and in gentleness. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He walked in patience. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And in love, having loved his own who were in the world, Jesus loved them to the end, saying, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." In his love, we abide. He also prayed for the unity of the church. He prayed for our unity, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. And he most certainly obeyed the Father's will. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent him. And by his humility, by his meekness, by his patient endurance, by his love, even to the point of death, death on the cross, Christ Jesus himself is our peace. As Paul writes earlier in the epistle to the Ephesians, he has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Who is higher, who is more glorious than the only begotten Son of God, eternal? And yet he himself walked in humility before God and man. And by his humility, you are saved. You have received the high and glorious calling to be children of God yourselves. Now, to be sure, this is not how the world and those of the world would consider one of high calling to walk. The Greco-Roman world of Jesus' day would have not recognized things like humility, meekness, patience, even forbearance as virtues to be encouraged. Even today, such traits are often looked down upon rather than exhorted. Those who carry themselves as humble, as meek, gentle, turning the other cheek, are often seen as weak, servile, contemptible. Jesus said the kings of the Gentiles lord it over one another, and not just the Gentiles, but the Pharisees, Jews, sought the places of honor for themselves at the feasts. As we heard this morning, they wouldn't even show compassion to a poor man who suffered from dropsy. This is found in you too, as you were still sinners. You have an old Adam who feels the exact same way. No meekness, no sympathy, no patience, no humility, only ambition, conceit, envy, jealousy, enmity, and pride. These come from within. And not only is this true in regard to how they and we would treat man, but also towards God. The nations rage, the peoples plot in vain. They set themselves, they take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Let us not submit to God. Let us not be obedient to anyone. Let us do what seems right in our own eyes. They have contempt even for God who created them. Again, seen in our gospel today as the Pharisees sought to test and trap the Lord Jesus, inviting him over to this Sabbath dinner in order that they might catch him in an error. As they persecuted the Lord Jesus, so do they persecute those who walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they have been called by the Lord Jesus. Paul, as we heard at the beginning of the epistle, was a prisoner for the Lord. He was bound in chains. And make no mistake, you too will suffer if you walk in such a humble manner. The world will despise you. The world will mock you. The world may threaten you. They may even harm you. And yet, as the Apostle Peter writes, even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Know that pride will always defeat its own ends. He who claims the place of honor will then find that he himself is quite unworthy. Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And just as the ancient serpent fell from God, so also those who live and walk in pride are doomed to fall. They cannot stand before God. We heard it in the psalm, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision, and then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. Indeed, those who seek for themselves the places of honor on earth will be disgraced and ashamed before everyone when they are forced to take the lowest place. but those who are humble will be exalted. And at the last, those who walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which they have been called will receive an eternal reward. The kingdom yours remaineth. Jesus, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even enduring death on the cross, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All those who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. If therefore you have been united with him in a death like his, you shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Paul was. He was a prisoner for the Lord, being poured out as a drink offering. Soon the time of his departure would come. And yet there was laid up for him the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, would award to him on that day. And not just to Paul, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Though in humility you would take the lowest place before man and before God, know that in the end you will hear the blessed invitation from your Lord. Friend, he calls, move up higher. On that day you will be honored by the Lord in the presence of all, and all who follow him in humble faith shall be exalted in such a resurrection as this. We must be clear, however, that this is not earned by the way you walk. You do not achieve for yourself exaltation by how humble you are. Again, it all begins with a calling that is external to yourself, a calling that comes from God and from God alone. Again, as you began the service, you are a poor, miserable sinner. You don't deserve to be exalted. It's not your due. But it is a gift that is truly yours by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. You didn't earn your way to the banquet. You were invited by the divine host. He has bestowed this honor upon you by his grace and grace alone. Again, it's not by your walking that you earn the calling, but rather because you have been called with such a high and glorious calling, you walk in a manner worthy of that calling. Or to put it in a different way, in our collect of the day this morning, we prayed, Lord, we implore you, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the devil and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God. This is to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, to resist the devil's temptations, particularly to pride and self-exaltation, to follow the only God, particularly in meekness and humility, both toward him and toward the neighbor. Yes, that is the calling to which you have been called. That is the way you walk. Again, we cannot do so by our own reason or strength. And we do, in fact, often stumble and fall. And that is daily why we pray for God's grace. Grace to forgive our sins. Grace to defend us in the hour of temptation. Grace to strengthen us to follow our Lord Jesus Christ on the way that leads to the cross and then to the open tomb. God hears this prayer. God hears your pleading. And he answers that prayer here, by bestowing upon you grace in the means of grace. Even here at the altar, where we come and kneel, and with one voice, united in the Spirit, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You have a high and glorious calling. To you, poor, miserable sinners, Jesus says, friend. Friend, come, move up higher. And you will be honored. Honored with the glory of God in the presence of all your fellow sinners who kneel before you, praising and adoring the Lamb once slain, now exalted forevermore. The honor that comes from men quickly fades and decays. But the honor that comes from God, the honor with which he has called you, will never fade away, but truly be yours now and even unto everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.